Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime! How y'all feel? T.T. Banda! Most hostile! Highly motivated, motivated, motivated!
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Catching up with Brian Haney now. KU and OU tonight to tip off Big 12 play in college.
There's not going to be any lightning or anything that to cancel the game tonight, is there?
All right, Brian, tell us all about your bowl experience down in Texas. That had to be very, very surreal. Walk us through what happened down there.
Well, you know, as abbreviated as my appearance was on you guys' show, I think we still did a solid 10 or 11 minutes. I only got in the bowl game. We were out before the 10-minute mark. It was really crazy. You know, as a guy that also does baseball, you always have that in the back of your mind doing baseball. You might get a rain delay and maybe even a postponement or a cancellation, but you just never consider that possible with football because it's football, right? Mm-hmm. And I understand whether you're playing Kansas 6A high school football or up to a collegiate bowl game, lightning's lightning, and you got to protect the safety of the players. So that was the right call. But there was never any talk of coming back the next day, which kind of speaks to how these bowl games, 30-some of them that we have, they're all made for TV events. And once you kind of wear your welcome of the TV window that you were given, it's no longer that attractive, I guess, of a event to make sure you get it in. Now, from a player's and a coach's perspective and a fan's perspective, absolutely they want to play this game. But I think once the delay, which was about 90 minutes when they called it, once they realized, hey, we're not going to play the rest of today, these storms have really set in, the thought of bringing it back the next day logistically, I guess, never occurred to them as being something that's feasible. And so it's a disappointment on a lot of levels. I put in a month's worth of prep, get set for this, and I feel for the fans probably spent their entire year's travel dollars to go down from to Boston to be there, and then you get all of that for 9 minutes and 52 seconds. But I guess we can say we're part of a trivia question now. The only bowl game ever canceled by weather, the ServPro First Responder Bowl.
Wow. All right, well, we get back to some basketball, and here we go. It's January, and the curtain rises on the Big 12 conference play all over the country, starting to kick off here this week. How ready is Kansas for this? Do you feel good about how they've marched through the non-conference? Have they gotten questions answered, bodies back and healthy? And are they in a good place to start off with a pretty decent test against an Oklahoma team that's more than capable?
Oh, certainly more than capable. Super impressed with Oklahoma, and we'll get into them in a second. But to answer your question, Bruce, about questions answered and bodies back, the answer is yes on both, but there's still more questions and still another body still to come back. And so Udoka's back, and he returns with 23 points, 9 rebounds, more spry and more active than I ever thought he would be in his first game back. Even as close as he was to returning for the game at Arizona State and as healthy as I thought he would be, you know, in that matchup over the weekend versus Eastern Michigan, I didn't expect him to take over like he did and command the ball as much as he did. And now I think there's a big question that's still to be answered in the wake of that performance is, how are Diedrich and Doak going to work together, and how are we going to see the best of both players together? It should be a blessing with the two of them on the floor at the same time, but they've not had a ton of opportunities against the type of styles they'll see in the Big 12 conference to do that, because if not the 3 weeks that Doak missed due to injury, there was foul trouble, there were a number of reasons why we haven't seen these guys get a larger sample size playing together. And we saw Diedrich, and granted, this was against the zone, so it was a little bit different, but we saw him defer more, we saw him settle for more 15-footers, and that's what the defense was giving him based on where he was playing in the middle of the zone. But there's no secret that with Doak on the floor, that's an extra big man to guard him. That's less room to roam. And what we've seen when Dedrick's been at his best is a guy that, you know, from 15, 16 feet and in, he goes to work. Mm-hmm. He puts the ball on the floor. He finds an angle to drive. He gets creative and crafty. And it's a lot tougher when you got more big bodies out there. And so I think the big question with Doak's return is, what's optimally that look like with those two playing together? In theory, as good of a passer as Dedrick is, and again, to quote Bill Self, he's the best passer at any position he's ever coached, that should lead to a lot of post-to-post sharing and a lot of, you know, the defense, you know, can't double anybody because they're both so dang good. It should help. But in the short term, I think we saw Dedrick kind of take a step back for one game. And Bill Self's not concerned. He said that had more to do with the Eastern Michigan zone than anything. But I think that's something we look at going forward. The other question that's still to be answered is, when does Silvio, if any point, rejoin this team? That's the other body that still has to be answered. And then the final question is, I think we've seen Quinton assert himself more these last two games, but can he sustain that and be a more consistently active and assertive player that plays aggressively and doesn't just kind of blend in and fade to the background? And that's a guy that once he gets going, who else is adding a top-10 player that looks nothing like a top-10 player around the rest of the country? I mean, it's almost like you're getting a new guy if he can have that switch get flipped. And that's what we're hoping for. So as much as the answers are yes to all of those questions, Bruce, there's still more questions to be answered and at least one more body to add in.
Yeah, small sample size with Dedrick Lawson and Udoka Azubuike playing together. It would seem like a good problem to have, but, man, Lawson was a double-double machine when Doak was out. And I guess it's a good problem to have because Bill Self has said this many, many times, Brian, that Dedrick Lawson is not only probably the best passing big man that Self has ever had, best passer maybe altogether. So that part of his game, while not totally going away when Doak was out, gets enhanced maybe a little bit, and he defers a little bit more, which is kind of what he looked like against Eastern Michigan, right?
It was. And I think, like you alluded to, it should be a huge blessing because when have you ever had two guys that are meant for each other, one who's just an absolute best passer in 15 years type talent, and the other that actually has better hands than fans give him credit for, has a huge catch radius, is learning how to get the seal, go up and get the ball, and making it so much easier to throw it to him. You know, what better pair than these two? So I think over the course of a larger sample size and more time together, that's going to be a nearly unstoppable duo if Duke can stay out of foul trouble and they both stay healthy. But in the meantime, you're not going to see as many 30 and 14 type lines like you saw out at Arizona State from Dedrick. And I think fans love seeing that because, A, he shot 80%, and B, you know, when he was getting the ball in that matchup in the first half, he was unstoppable. He was 10 of 12. But they stopped feeding it to him as much in the second half. I guess it was 8 of 10 those first 20 minutes. Point is, you know, fans see that and they think, wow, that's us at our best. Maybe not necessarily. Maybe with their best is with Doak in there because you're controlling the glass. Dedrick maybe dials it back into the, you know, 18 and 10 type range. And everybody else, when you're on defense, is going one shot and out because you've got 7 feet and 6'9". Getting every rebound, and you've got two guys that are really tough because you can't double either of them with the other guy on the floor. KU's best, or their optimal version, is something that I think we've yet to see for big stretches, but will evolve in the coming weeks. And it's not going to be four out, one in. It's going to be two guys in the front court that are as tough to stop individually as any you'll find, and certainly almost impossible to stop collectively because who else can match up with them? We'll see tonight.
Well,
Manic and McNeese have some height that probably most Big 12 clubs won't. But you look at the rest of the league roster, if Kansas has those two not only on the floor but hitting on all cylinders, boy, that is a Herculean challenge to go up against.
Yeah, and you took the words right out of my mouth, and it was what I was going to ask you next. So let me kind of rephrase it a little bit. There is no comparison. I know that fans like flash, and Dedrick gives that to them, and, you know, Gerald Vick can give that to them as well. But from a standpoint of building from the inside out and the strength of the foundation, Doak is the key because he gives you a component that really, as you look around the country, and I'm not talking about just the Big 12, as you look around the country, Brian, you really don't see it very much. You don't see that kind of guy, and it allows an entire different level of power game, defensive game, rebounding game that a lot of other teams don't have. I mean, Kansas to me is so much better when it starts with that big fella down low.
Yeah, that's really well said, Bruce. And that kind of goes back to the conversation we had 4 weeks ago when he first went down, that there's probably only four or five other teams in the country that have a guy his size that's as agile as he is and can do the things that Doak can do. And so that's why it was such a costly weapon to lose, but it came at a decent time where you could weather the storm for the most part. Going forward, he gives you something that it's just so difficult to defend, because you might have a guy that's 6'10", 230, 240, but Doak's standing at 280, and he moves well, and he shuffles his feet. Mm-hmm. He's becoming more of what a complete player at that position looks to be. In the previous couple of years, I didn't think he always went after the ball in terms of rebounding as much as he could. He certainly didn't block as many shots. We're now seeing him blossom and play to his size even more so, playing turned up even more so. I think Saturday was a great example of that. And while not every game is going to be as easy as that one came to him against Eastern Michigan, I'll remind our fans listening, that was as big and long as a team as we'd seen in terms of the height that they were dealing with and all that, and he still took him to school. So I agree with you, Bruce. I think that it's a very unique skill set that a lot of basketball has kind of gone away from, that true, you know, five-man center type. And you know, I don't know what it'll look like for him at the professional level, but right now within the college game, he has a chance to dominate if his guards and Diedrich can get him the ball in positions to score it. And if he can prove to be, on the anniversary of the Polka Doak Lon Kruger game, prove to be an adequate free throw shooter to where we don't have to hide him at the end of the game. We saw that, I thought, in the matchup versus Eastern Michigan. And, hey, if we could get 50% going forward like we saw in that game, I'd take it. Because he was 32% over his first seven games of the year, and that's not going to cut it. But when you give Kansas back a weapon like that, and you already have a guy like Diedrich, only make that weapon better with A, the attention he commands, but B, the passing abilities that Shane alluded to, that makes Doak the best version of Doak we've ever seen. And like I said, we haven't seen that a ton this year for foul trouble and injury reasons, but I think heading into the league, that's going to be your bread and butter as much as anything. And then what you get from the wings and what you get from Devon in transition and all that will be icing on the cake. But I think those two will be how this bread is buttered if indeed we're going to have a 15th straight Big 12 title.
KU-OU tonight on air at 6:30, tip-off at 8 right here for your home of the Jayhawks, KFH. Brian Haney, Jayhawk play-by-play voice, joining us here this morning on Sports Daily. Okay, interesting timing. Not only Doak coming back, but right about the same time, Jumaane McNeese got healthy enough for OU. This is an old team. They got six seniors who contribute. And McNeese had missed a significant amount of time with an ankle injury, came back to the starting lineup against Northwestern, and obviously he'll be key in going head-to-head against Azubuike tonight. Talk about OU. They come in at 11-1, led by Christian James. They're a different-looking team than they were last year because of Trey Young, basically one guy. But is it possible that they're better this year than they were last?
It's funny because everything you just said is true, and yet they were so much more than basically one guy in terms of how the roster was constructed, but in terms of how they played stylistically, it was basically one guy. And then Manic would throw in some threes here or there, and James and Doolittle, they were on the floor, but it was such a, I hate to use the term selfish style of basketball, but it was such a let one guy run around and do his thing style. It wasn't the best version of OU, and they all knew that. And how Lon Kruger got them to play as well as they did and get the other guys to buy in, even though so much of it was running through one player, really speaks to Kruger's coaching genius and why he's a likely Hall of Famer at some point. Because, and I think a lot of guys would have checked out, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's commanding that many shots and chucking them up 35 feet, and yeah, it's great when it goes in, but when you hit the rough spell that they did, to not have players revolt and really be up in arms, I think speaks to the great job that Kruger did. You look at him a year later, and they're playing together so much better. And you're reminded of the fact that, hey, Doolittle and James and some of these guys, they were all top 100 players too. It's not like the rest of that roster wasn't capable. He's had a good roster beyond Trae Young. They just weren't in a position to have their strengths accentuated and even have an opportunity to showcase much. But now, as Bill Self said on Monday, Christian James looks to be the most improved player in the league. He said he'd be a first-team All-Big 12 guy as a lock right now if we voted today. And he's absolutely right. The numbers back it up. He's been terrific. And I do think McNeese is one of the more challenging matchups because not only does he have the size, but he's very athletic. And I think that he can give Kansas fits. Differences this season compared to previous ones, Kansas has more options to throw at him. And they, like I just went off on for a 10-minute rant, have the ability to Dedrick showcase Doak a little bit more with the attention Dedrick will command and then his ability to dump down to Doak post to post, across the blocks, those types of plays. It's going to make it really hard to take one or both guys away. And even if you took one away, you know, that means the other guy's going to more than likely get a high percentage look from 5 feet in. And so I do think Kansas is equipped to handle that. But this is definitely a matchup where there's length, like most won't have with Manic next to McNeese, and certainly great athleticism. And so Jayhawks are going to have to bring it. I don't think anybody circled this one as one of the key games in the quest for 15 straight, but you look down at them now at 11-1 and ranked 23rd in the country, and you don't want to stub your toe in your first home game like Kansas did with Texas Tech a year ago and feel like you're having to play catch-up, having lost one on the floor, where typically when you divvy up the schedule, you think, okay, 18 games, we're going to get 9 at home, and we got to go win 6 on the road, and we got this thing outright. Can't take anything for granted, as we saw a year ago with a couple of home losses. Arizona State and Texas Tech come to mind. So I think this is one that has the potential to be that as well if you'll come out and play a great game. And if you do, you're off and rolling, and you just beat a team that's going to beat a lot of teams on their home floor. You got to make sure you're not one of those teams.
Yeah, it's intriguing on a lot of different levels. I've obviously Oklahoma being 11-1, you know, they hit some shots early and get into their rhythm, then they're in this basketball game. The reason I don't like Oklahoma in the matchup, I mean, Kansas, you never pick against Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, but the one thing that gives Oklahoma some swagger is the fact is that they're just an experienced basketball team. They collectively have been on this stage before. They've played in this building before. They probably don't come in as concerned about the fog as a lot of teams do. And they've got Lon Kruger coaching it. Now, that doesn't mean that Kansas can't open up a can and have their way. They certainly can. But from a standpoint of this being the first team that you play in conference play, this is a dangerous one just simply because of the maturity that they have in the program.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think everything you said is spot on true. And so for Kansas, it is kind of fortunate to get to open at home. If this was down at Lloyd Noble, I'd really have concerns that you might be starting 0-1. And yet,
yeah,
we talk ourselves into those notions. They find a way to go out and win each time. Like last year in Austin, when Udoka was playing with a bad back and they somehow found a way. Jayhawks always seem to surprise us, you know, when we think the odds might be stacking against them. In this case, as you said, the odds are still very much in their favor because they're at home, but it's not the typical home court advantage that you would have when it comes to wearing the opponent down with all your talent, the venue, the way that the crowd can get on you. And I mean, I've literally watched, when I think back to that game, my first year on the call in West Virginia when KU was down 14 with 2:47 to go, I literally watched the building and the fans have Nathan Adrian. I could see his knees shaking as he was trying to get the ball in bounds. And I watched physically it demoralize a player mentally and emotionally, just take him away. You're not going to have that tonight. It'll be a good venue, but keep in mind the students aren't back yet. Class doesn't start for 3 more weeks, believe it or not. And so it won't quite be the raucous atmosphere that it normally would be, but there'll still be some students there. I just feel like for Kansas, there's so many factors that are normally huge in their favor. And this one tonight will have some of those. But they're going to have to make some of their own breaks as well and
keep
this as a huge opportunity game to get a top 25 win on your home floor, because OU's not going to be fazed. And to make your point even more, Bruce, they're not going to be blown away by Dedrick because they've seen Dedrick each of the last
right.
two seasons when they played Memphis. So
right.
they know how good he is, and he had good showings against them. Let's not act like they shut him down or anything, but they're
right.
not unfamiliar with him either. So I think their familiarity with the building and the roster and all that gives you a great chance to come in and compete. But you hit the nail on the head when you said they got to get off to a fast start, OU.
Yes.
Because I think if Kansas could put the hammer down early, you'd have a chance to really stand tall and proud. But this has not been a Kansas team that's blown a ton of teams out. It's not been a Kansas team that's played from out in front a lot. I'd love to see that out of the Jayhawks here tonight.
Yeah, that'd be a nice step forward, no question. Last one for me real quickly on the football program, and I know you've been so incredibly busy during the holidays that maybe you haven't had as much of a chance to get over in the complex and get a pulse check for Les Miles and what he's doing. It appears through his recruiting and getting a staff together that he's off to a pretty good start. What's the general vibe around Lawrence these days on Les Miles and the football program?
Yeah, I think folks are encouraged. I've had a chance to interview a lot of the assistants, and we have these video conversations available on KUAthletics.com or on the KU Football Twitter feed, and you'll love some of these personalities. I've spent a ton of time with these assistants one-on-one and just walked away so impressed, not only with their knowledge of the game, but the charisma, just the personality that I think is going to be key in selling this program. And the name Les Miles and his track record, averaging over 10 wins a season for 11 years at LSU, that obviously sells itself. But, you know, at this stage in his career, it was imperative that he put good assistants around him. I think clearly he's done that. The two coordinator hires I love, and the fact that they were able to keep Clint Bowen and Tony Hull for the previous staff, I think is big. But as you look at some of the personalities of these guys, and again, this isn't self-promotion, I think fans really love these videos. You'll see what I'm talking about with the recruiters and the charisma and just the sellability of their personalities that I think is going to attract some big-time players. Now, this class is only going to be 15 in number based on the scholarships they have to give, and they've got most of that filled by the early signing date. The quality of that quantity remains to be seen. It always does.
Right.
But I think they did pretty well getting what they could get, picking up that late in the game. And the McVitie kid at quarterback, you know, I think it's obviously going to be a really important piece to how we view the success of this class, because we're still trying to find that next Todd Reesing. But it's funny, as I watch bowl season and I see Ryan Willis and I see what we saw a year ago, you know, with Boise State and the success that they had with the quarterback transfer from Kansas as well. We've had good quarterbacks on our campus. We've not developed them. And I think we could do a much better job of that. Montel Cozart is who I'm talking about.
Sure.
I think we've had more guys than we've given previous staffs credit for in obtaining, but we've not developed them once they've gotten here. And hopefully the offensive coaches we've brought in, led by Chip Lindsey, the OC, will give us a chance, whether it's, you know, an incoming freshman or a JC guy, of which we've got one of each in this class, you know, to really develop them and get something that for the first time since Todd Reesing looks like a week in and week out, we got our guy type starter, as opposed to playing three different guys over the course of the year, and the narrative may change every 2 weeks on who your guy is going to be. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do that, because clearly that's been what's been missing more so than anything these last 10 years, and hopefully he's got that with these first two he signed.
KU-OU tonight, starting Big 12 play, on air at 6:30, tip off at 8. Brian and Greg will have it for you right here on your home of the Jayhawks, KFH. Thanks again, Brian. Glad you made it back safely, and we will be listening tonight.
Hey, thanks a lot, fellas. I appreciate that. And love the home games, because I get to sleep in my own bed from the Mattress Hub. Find them online at themattresshub.com. Here in the next month or so, you'll be doing your taxes. You get that tax rebate. Spend it on a mattress or bedroom accessories at themattresshub.com. Thanks a lot, fellas.
See you, Brian. Appreciate you.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Brian Haney from the Jayhawk Radio Network right here on KFH.
Pretty intriguing matchup tonight.
Yeah, he's right about the fact that they got it at home, and you can maybe not necessarily breathe a sigh of relief, but feel a little bit better about playing that very first one at home as opposed to down at Lloyd Noble. This is an old, experienced, and likely to be unflappable OU team that they got coming in. Give Dusty a call if you want a free Papa John's pizza, won't you? Mm. Caller number 3. I've got a coupon good for a free, large, up to 5-topping pizza from Papa John's. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado still don't have a job. How they compare to Yu Darvish, Eric Hosmer, and J.D. Martinez from last year. MLB talk when we come back.
Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.